Thank you. I'm just struck by Ian's talk earlier, and the word, the thought, big, small fish, big pond is coming to me, and testosterone. And I realise it's a good thing to put ourselves out here. And 4 years ago, when Dr. Eleanor Mullins in Cork came to Dr. Tony Foley and told us about this grant that was available, it was a pretty big thing for a primary care team to go for. And we were never lacking in courage in Kinsale. Living in such a beautiful place as this is amazing. I'm a Dub and very happy here in Kinsale. What's amazing is we've 60 people on our books living in Kinsale with dementia outside of those in nursing home care. I don't think we ever perceived that we would get to 60. So I don't know whether our ratios of population or whatever are right, but there are 60 people in this town and its environment living with dementia, and we hope living well. We set out to make Kinsale a better place to live. We all live in Kinsale, and we're all going to grow old in Kinsale, and a lot of us are going to get dementia in Kinsale, and we want to make sure that we're going to be living very happily here. So somewhat selfishly, we've set about this task. I need to thank our K-Cord committee. We're six people. Now, I will talk about a consortium, but we are basically six people who did this a lot in voluntary time, a lot of it outside of day jobs. I'm an occupational therapy manager in Cork South, with the busy department. So a lot of us set about this on Tuesday evenings, and we've spent many a Tuesday evening in Kinsale. And Toomey, a former management committee, is here, who's an ex-carer, and Anne has driven from Cork City to Kinsale twice a month for 4 years. So it's a huge ask for people. Tony Foley has gone on to the Prepared programme, but Micheál Hines is another GP in Kinsale who estimated he'd given 100 hours of voluntary time. We reckoned 200 hours of voluntary time. At this day and age, that a GP would give 200 hours of his voluntary time for no pay to something like this is a huge, huge congratulations. He's not here, unfortunately. We have Doreen Lynch, who's from a management committee, is a nurse educator, and Micheál's not here. I'd also just like to say thanks to our project manager, Liz Creed, and two of our dementia care coordinators who are here, Cathy Gambier-Ross and Maura Riley. That's it. That is who we are. I mean, I can name them, you know, I can name 10 people who set out to do this project and with the consortium who I'll mention here. In 2012, we held a conference in Kinsale, just the primary care team, on dementia. I can't even think why we did that. But that set us to believe that there was a huge desire for knowledge and information, both from health professionals. When we got the award, we then went on to hold an open forum like this in Actions Hotel. And I think 120 people showed up, just carers, people with memory problems, people interested in volunteering. So in a small town, we huge, huge desire for information. So we knew we were on the right track. We knew that dementia had to be tackled. It's been very funny. Katrina used exactly the same two words as me. We like to use the word rewarding and challenging very quickly together. I've had huge personal rewards from it. It's probably been the most exciting thing I've done as an occupational therapist, and it's certainly the social model of care is how I trained in the 80s, and it certainly fit my philosophy and my way of thinking. People should stay at home and live active lives in the community, and that's how I trained. But challenging, I've dyed my hair now. We've all gone a bit greyer and balder over the last 4 years because it has been very, very hard work. And I'm not sure if you're going to get this out to another 200 primary care teams. It's a huge ask. So we hope we'll have done the work, and we'll have simplified it, and we'll have a model now with Genio that is scalable, because certainly we can't expect people to volunteer at that level again. Technology. So Genio came up with this word consortium. I presume it existed before. I had never heard of it, a thing called a consortium. So we gathered people from around our community to come together and work together in a collaborative fashion. There were people who normally wouldn't sit at the table together. I've been working for 30 years. I only sat with doctors and nurses and physios and OTs, my natural group. And this brought together accountants and solicitors and planners and engineers, and all kinds of people came together and formed a consortium. We were having somebody from UCC, from the Department of Applied Psychology, with somebody from Cork Institute of Technology, bringing technology. So we had a huge amount of people coming together with a shared, similar interests and purpose. And this consortium helped lead us, really, and we set up 4 working groups. This method of working recognises the strength of a coordinated response, and bringing people together from both private industry, as I said, education, people with dementia, carers, people from the health professional and local government. It fundamentally has changed the way we're working, and we just can't go back to our silos of being health professionals working with health professionals. Last week, I did a pitch to the Urban District Council in Cork and Kinsale, if they're called that anymore, Cork County Council, to try and integrate our dementia cafe into the age-friendly town. It's no medical model. It didn't have to sit in the HSE. We don't need a nurse to coordinate it. But in fact, we have a retired nurse in Kinsale who's willing to take it on and run volunteers. But it sits nicely with the county council. So we're trying to get things working, but, you know, unmedicalise them. I also sat at a meeting with the Chamber of Commerce in Kinsale talking about making businesses dementia friendly. So these are partnerships that I would not have naturally had. I've been asked to give a case example. And in fact, I have a couple of cases. I've kind of merged them slightly in my head. A case example that shows how a dementia care coordinator works, and that's the title that we've used in Kinsale, dementia care coordinator. And this person has had an overview of the clients with dementia along their journey. As an occupational therapist in Kinsale, I'm loath to say it, you had to fall to access an occupational therapist. And then you fall and we realise you have dementia and you can get into your bath. And we started working with you when you had a fall. So we've brought you back 4 years earlier and said, we want to know about you when you're diagnosed. We want to prevent the fall from happening. So our dementia care coordinator has walked the journey from diagnosis as much as is possible all the way through and kept connected with the person. So I'm going to give an example of Joan is her name, and she's 62. She came onto our project. She was one of the first clients to come onto our project. And I have a memory of her husband and son coming to Acton's Hotel and sitting at the back. When I met them, then I realised they came looking for knowledge. They had no idea what to do. Mom had dementia in her very early 60s. She was still working. The first 3 people who came onto our books in Kinsale were 62, 63 and 64. Now, they're just nice numbers to have, but they were so young. So there was, you know, people are very young getting dementia. Obviously, we have people in their 80s, but people who need help often are the people who are younger. So Joan came onto our books. At that stage, the primary care team that she was involved with had already said to the family they should consider Fair Deal. By the time we got involved, Fair Deal was on the cards, and really Mom had to go into long-term care because she had a diagnosis of dementia. There was this assumption made once you've got a diagnosis. So our dementia care coordinator has gone out and, as explained earlier, spent a long time with the family. We actually went out in the evening. That's something the HSE, so we're all gone at 5 o'clock, quarter to five. Out the door at 5 o'clock, on a Friday, even worse. But our dementia care coordinator said, well, what suits you as a family? So a Friday evening suited. So we met the son and Joan and her husband on a Friday evening, because that's what we were able to do. We talked through what the difficulties were. She loved dancing. She loved music. So we tried to say, right, you know, how can we re-engage you with dancing and music? We matched her with a support worker who brought her out to activities. We've had loads of singing and dancing in Kinsale and loads of activities and tea dances. And she went to them and she loved it. She loved dancing. The dementia care coordinator worked with the local primary care team, the public health nurse, and supported them to support her, but saw the bigger picture. She was the person that said we need to refer to speech and language therapy. She noticed that she was losing weight, that the food, she wasn't recognising food. I remember she was given a vol-au-vent at one of our meetings, and she no longer recognised the food. She was playing with it. She had no concept that this was to be eaten, so she was losing weight. We referred her to the OT, at least the dementia care coordinator referred her to the local OT to start housing adaptations. So all of this journey with Joan and coordinating the care has been done by a dementia care coordinator. Obviously, over time, we've had problems. There was an emergency respite because her husband needed surgery. We have a big part of our role in Kinsale, I'll speak about, is the care review meeting. We have natural primary care meetings every Friday in Kinsale. We have separate ones for dementia. We'd 60 people discuss. We didn't discuss all 60 every week, but we discussed maybe 10 of them a month. So we kept our care review meetings. They were called clinical review meetings for the first year, and we thought, why are we calling them a clinical review meeting? We're not clinically reviewing anybody. We're care reviewing them. So we're now calling them care review meetings. Her husband has been a very, very good attender at our carers groups. They're small carers groups. Anne Toomeyhere facilitates them for us. It's a small town. Three or four people show up regularly every month, and they just sit and have a cup of tea and support each other. We've tried educational evenings, and we've tried bigger things. And the feedback is we just want to sit together and be supported. You know, we can go elsewhere for education. We just want to be supported. So Joan's husband has been a very regular attender and has appreciated the support he's received from us. I'm unsure what to say about the intensive home care packages. I have to be very careful. We had huge problems getting intensive care packages for somebody who absolutely needed it. I mean, 3 years ago, we were talking about going into long-term care, and Joan is still living at home, being cared for. We're giving more care. She's needing more care. She has been into Kinsale Hospital, which is our local community hospital. She was hoisted while she was in hospital, and we thought, this is it now. She's never going to get home. But as people with dementia do, we bounce back, and she's walking again. So this, you know, there's never a pattern we can follow here. So Joan is back home again. We did get refused an intensive home care package because we hadn't shown enough admissions to the acute services. Now, we had spent 3 years avoiding an acute admission. And that mightn't be politically correct to say, standing up here, but that is the truth. And ours and ours and ours of public health nursing, I have public health nurses crying on a Friday evening with these forms. I mean, just crying. They're so desperate and saying to me, they should go into long-term care. Georgia. It would be easier, you know, at the end of the day. But it's not easier. We have to keep the person at home. So we did get this intensive home care package, and Joan is still living at home, and she may be at home for another 2 years. But the paperwork is overwhelming, as Katrina said, and would cause any public health nurse to just pack in a job on a Friday evening. I've seen the desperation. So our dementia care coordinator has held hands with the public health nurses to try and get these through. But there has to be easier. There has to be an easier way. And landing into an acute hospital cannot be the only way of getting a package. It has to be, trust us that we know who needs a package. Tony Foley's done a lot of research with GPs, so there's just a couple of quotes here from GPs about the role of the dementia care coordinator. There was a huge reassurance that when you have somebody that is diagnosed with dementia, you have a clear pathway on how you're going to manage them, and that pathway involved the referral to a dementia care coordinator. Another quote from a GP: if you were organising what is an extremely complex care programme, you need somebody at the helm, I think it is, that you can touch base with because you don't have time on a day-to-day. So the GPs don't have time to coordinate it. So the dementia care coordinator is the role that I'm really here to look at, and how that's going to work. Katrina already mentioned one point of contact. So simple. Have one point of contact. I mean, it could be on the HSC, you know, phone, whatever it could be. One person in a network. In fact, with the new CHO reconfiguration, networks are going to get too big. We're presently at about 35, 40,000. And to be a dementia care coordinator for 40,000 people is a huge ask. If you're going to double it, and the whole of West Cork, which I manage, which anybody knows West Cork, is five significant towns, to be a dementia care coordinator for a network called West Cork, just because it has a population of 56,000, is unworkable. So when I use the word per network, I use it very loosely because I don't know what ratios we're going to talk about. So different approaches. We employed a dementia care coordinator as a very specific role with our Genio funding. But in other areas, it was the local public health nurse that was assigned the task. And in Katrina's project with mental health, there was mental health nursing. What's essential to this is protected time. None of us can do this. No OT or speech therapy. You know, none of us can take on board doing a job on top of our day job. So you need to be given protective time. And I'm hoping that this job could fall to an occupational therapist as much as a public health nurse, because I feel we have the skills as well. There is difficulties as we come towards the palliative stage that people are very high nursing needs, and we've had issues with skin breakdown and dressings, and the nursing role is greater at that end. But one single point of contact is critical for advice and information and support. And providing specific guidance and support to families and carers. So we see that as being absolutely key. So what are the functions of this person? Initial assessment. I mean, I've done thousands of initial assessments and I might have five to do in a day, and the quicker I get through them, the quicker I get home. With dementia, the assessment could take all day. It could take 2 hours today and come back tomorrow and 2 hours tomorrow and see you in a different setting. So the essence of the dementia assessment is long and thorough and robust and personalised and discussed with family members, and it takes a long time. But this, it's skilled, and it's hearing the voice of the person with dementia, fundamentally, but not forgetting that the person with dementia lives with family members and they need to be listened to as well, as much as is possible. So what are the wishes for the person? Capturing life stories. I mean, I love life stories, people's interests and all the rest. Capturing all of that. So as people move on in their journey, you remember what they like. Did they like the Irish Times crossword? If I brought my mother the Examiner, I know what she would do with them. Because all of her life, she's read the Irish Times, and that's what she's familiar with. And even if it's not all going in, it's her paper of choice, and it's what she feels familiar with. And it's knowing that is important. The process is ongoing. The assessment is never completed. It's an ongoing process of assessment. It needs to be very reactive, and it's very flexible, and the same words keep coming up. The dementia care coordinator would develop a very personalised support plan. And I think other members who've spoken before me of the Genio Project have spoken more about how we can personalise the plans. Bringing together natural supports, like somebody's reconnecting with a cousin, not just the formal supports that we can offer. Reconnecting people who might have been scared with their friends. There's a gentleman in Kinsale at the moment with dementia, and I see him out. He's part of a lottery club, and he's there amongst a group of friends. He goes out every Friday night for 2 pints and goes home. And he's connected with his friends. They know he has dementia, but they're supporting him, and it's very, you know, it's very meaningful. What are the other key functions of the person with a dementia care coordinator? Once you've done the assessment and you have a care plan, developing and coordinating a range of interventions. They could include exercise group. We also have an exercise group. We have therapies, social activities. In Kinsale, we have a dementia cafe, which we hold every week. Up to 22 people can come. It's hugely successful. It does not have to be in the medical model. We have it in the Friary space, and I'm hoping it will go into the age-friendly communities. We've had arts, we've had choirs. So making connections for people and supporting them. Able to initiate immediate response. Katrina spoke about the immediate response. It has to be today, really. I have three examples of where in respite. We had somebody who went into Kinsale Hospital and respite, and Kinsale Hospital is a fantastic hospital, small community hospitals. They were under threat about 5 years ago, and I mean, thank God they're still there, because in fact we need more of them. They're just small, intimate hospitals that people feel. Some of our people in Kinsale have had babies in them. They were able to give birth there, so it's a comfortable hospital where people are familiar with it. Visitors can walk up and down from town. It's not very medicalised. But one of our ladies with dementia went in, and the very first night, matron phoned and said, I can't manage. We've got to take her home. 5 o'clock. We can't manage. She's pacing the wards. We can't manage. We've got too many people to mind. You need to take her home straight away. So our dementia care coordinator went down and just talked it through and all the rest. So what we were able to offer, and slightly on a wing and a prayer, because I didn't know whether HIC was standards or else, we sent in a support worker from 5 to 6:30 probably every evening, just to help with that period of time when the client was unsettled, brought them out in the garden, maybe helped them have a meal. When Kinsale Hospital saw that we were willing to support people with dementia, they allowed the next person with respite to come in, and the next person. So once they trusted us, this person has been allowed back in, and other people. So we were able to react. I gave an example there. Friday evenings, we were able to react to somebody who was fit to kill the person they were caring for, and they just needed to get headspace and go for a walk in Garrettstown Beach. And we went in for 2 hours and just gave them space. Just go for a walk. We'll, you know, diffuse the situation. So we've thousands of examples of how we just were able to react quite quickly. Promoting and embedding a personalised support to the service delivery across the primary care teams. So dementia is complex, and things that happen quickly, and situations have to be reacted to very quickly. The other roles of the dementia care coordinator are providing specialist advice, guidance and information and support to healthcare and social care professionals. Supporting the public health nurse in the role. We're not taking over from the role of the public health nurse. We're walking along with the public health nurse, just with a different vision. So supporting other health professionals in implementing responses to situations where challenging behaviour and other issues may present that are quite difficult for us. So our key findings, based on all of the four projects over the 4 years, are that a dementia specialist is needed. I know it's not popular, I know it's costly, lawyers. It's not anywhere near as costly as long-term care, as Katrina has cited there. There are, you know, you either give it to somebody as a specialist position, it has to be integrated into HSE, they have to come under the HSE model, and this role can be drawn from existing staff within the HSE as long as they're given time to do it, and there's upskilling and education. And an important note is that the dementia care coordinator does not take over the case management of the client. Okay, they're there like a palliative care nurse or an incontinence nurse. They walk with you as a public health nurse. They're not there to take over. Additional duties that we have thought that need to be assigned to the dementia care coordinator are promoting dementia awareness in the local community. It's a huge ask, but by just getting out and holding events, you're constantly raising the awareness. We've had some amazing events in Kinsale. Developing training and education opportunities to staff and family and volunteers. We're very lucky, our dementia care coordinator is also a trainer, a nurse educator, so she's brought a lot of that to us. Promoting integration for people with dementia in the community. Supporting and developing of peer-to-peer support groups for persons with dementia. And developing a volunteer network is absolutely critical. So the outcomes are really, we have shown that personalised supports need to be coordinated and delivered for the person within their community, looking at all their needs. Natural, formal and informal services need to be harnessed to provide personalised community response to dementia. And specialist clinical knowledge is required for supporting people with dementia. We all need to upskill. You know, the lady who's a carer mentioned the book. A lot of us have read the book. But do we know it in practice? Key to the success of the coordination of supports with persons with dementia is the collaborative working. Communication is key. We hold meetings once a month in Kinsale where we talk about people with dementia. They've been hugely successful. Our dementia care coordinator has role modelled how it is to present a case history for somebody with dementia in a meaningful way. I mean, you know, looking at all the person's needs. We're now hoping to integrate those dementia meetings back into our natural primary care meetings. Therein is a challenge because cancer is sexier and somebody with motor neurone disease is more needy. So the person with dementia needs to be kept up at the top of the list, and we have to be careful that they stay there. I'm going to quickly flick through that one. That was just a very early slide of all the communications that we had in Kinsale with the person with dementia in the middle. If I was very clever, I'd have added another circle around it, which is a wider circle with Urban District Council and the local businesses, but I wasn't able to do that. It is complex. Dementia is very complex, and this Genio work has allowed us to put a framework around it, and hopefully with the new report coming out, it will be possible for other primary care teams to do this work. My final slide, I'm so proud of this one as an occupational therapist. I've had nothing to do with them. The quilts were made by people with dementia in Kinsale, facilitated by some local artists and our support worker here, Aileen. Last Thursday, we opened our primary care centre in Kinsale, and people with dementia who were involved in the quilt were brought along to present the quilt to the community of Kinsale. Let's just say there was at least 5 local politicians hopping from foot to foot. Because it's their gig. That's their job. But we didn't give it to them. We made a decision that we were going to give this to people with dementia and their carers in Kinsale and people who facilitated it. And our general manager came and we officially handed it over. And that's putting us in a pretty good position in Kinsale. Nobody knew who had dementia. Nobody knew who was involved. People, there's a lady there and she's pointing her name out. The names of people were printed beautifully there. So I'm very proud of that. That's my OT coming back to me there. Lovely project. I think we should do more of those. Each person had a 10 by 10 inch panel, which they had to represent either K-Cord or Kinsale. And it was facilitated in the local community college on a Friday afternoon over a couple of months. Nice, simple project, but it made connections for people. So I've been asked to show a small film showing the coordination of supports.